Hello friends, welcome back to the V-Lecture series on strategic management. In the last chapter we had seen about the fundamentals of strategic management in detail. I hope you all enjoyed it. If you have any questions, you can always write to me. I'll be very glad to answer your questions. Now in today's session, we'll be talking about industry, analysis of industry and the competition, which is the most critical component of the overall strategic management process. Strategic management process has got four distinct stages, which is environment analysis, strategy formulation, strategy implementation, and review and control. In the environment analysis, there are two broad components, which are industry and competition analysis. The second one is the macro environment analysis and internal environment analysis. So we are talking about external environment, where we are going to talk about analyze the industry and competition, how it is relevant, and why it is important for strategic formulation process. The learning objective out of this chapter is basically to understand what constitutes industry and competition. What is your industry? How do you define your industry? How does it evolve? And what's the role of a company in an industry? And how do you take leadership position in your industry? So and also how do you compare yourself with the competition? How do you beat the competition? How do you create a unique position for yourself in your industry? So that's how, that's very important to understand the evolution of industry and industry life cycle, to analyze the industry and competition through a SWOT analysis, to understand government policies for the industry, because government comes out with a lot of policies. There are regulatory bodies for individual industries, whether it is banking, financial, insurance, or stock exchanges, or mobile companies, IT, ITS companies. Every industry has a industry regulatory bodies who come out with new policies and regulations to ensure that the industry performs transparently and their corporate governance is is properly complied with. And that's one part we will be talking about, government policies and regulatory policies. Evaluate entry and exit barriers. We'll be talking about Michael Porter's five forces model of industry organization. Understand the bargaining power of customers. So it's very important. How does the market shape in terms of what the companies define their business strategies. Introduction to analysis of industry and competition. What is an industry? How do you define an industry? Industry is defined as a group of companies that produce similar products or services. So you have a commonality of a product and service that the group of companies that produce those products and services are classified as a particular industry. Automobile industry we talked about in the earlier chapter. There are different automobiles there. There is a four-wheeler, there is a two-wheeler, there is a three-wheeler. There is heavy duty vehicles, there are medium vehicles, there are so automobile industry is a wide range, but all are classified as one industry called automobiles. But there are different companies operating within the industry doing different segments of products and meeting the requirements of different segments of customers in the marketplace. Companies in industry compete with each other to gain socio-economic and competitive advantage. Because that is the purpose of the organization. The purpose of the organization is to make money, to be profitable, to make social impact by creating employment, by contributing in the corporate social responsibility, and providing education to underprivileged children. There are so many things that they are doing currently. And how do you create competitive advantage and take leadership position in that industry? So I think these are the three major criteria a company has to be in a particular industry. three broad categories of industry: old economy industries, traditional economy industries, and new economy industries. We had seen it in the last chapter as well. So let's talk about that in detail. The core industries, the first one is the old economy industries, the core industry. The core industries like mining, steel, coal, electricity, metals. So these industries are core industries, right? Old economy industries. Banking, financial services also, because any economy, the GDP of an economy is driven by the financial. The growth engine of an economy is the financial services, banking and financial services in an economy. So that also forms a core service. The companies in this sector are growth engines of an economy, because industrial production, the services production, it's all coming from the core industries. Traditional and new economy industries. Traditional economy industries constitute the companies in the hotel, automobiles, aviation, consumer electronics, consumer durable. These are all some lifestyle things which have come up in the last couple of decades, So these industries have evolved over the last couple of decades, whether it is consumer electronics or automobiles or hotels or hospitality or aviation industry, consumer durables. These industries, unlike the core industries are 100 years old, that they have been in existence for the last 100 years or 50 years. But the traditional economy industries, which constitute majority of our GDP today, because the consumption pattern has shifted and people go for, depending on their lifestyle, they consume these products and services. The third one, new economy industries, consists of IT, internet companies, e-commerce companies, and etc. Evolution of industry. Deep knowledge and understanding of the industry is important for formulation of any business strategy. So if you are in a particular industry, you need to analyze the industry completely in order to enter and take a decision, strategic decision, whether there is space for more players in that particular industry, right? So I can give a lot of examples. We'll give examples as we go along. So first thing is that. So you need to have a deep knowledge and understanding of the industry to take a strategic decision, so that formulation of a strategy of your business will critically depend on the space and opportunities available within that particular industry. Changes in industry include shift in demographic forces. There is a demographic forces, cultural change, social lifestyle changes of people, economic changes, technological advancements. Because technology keeps changing, so products keep changing, customer buying pattern keeps changing. So we need to take into account all this when you're considering industry. The industry passes through five stages of evolution. Whether you are entering the business at the introduction stage or growth stage or shakeout stage, maturity stage or decline stage. So you have to be very clear whether there is space, enough space for the company to play its play the role in creating new business or come out with new ideas, or the industry is so big you can create your own niche in terms of creating a new product and service business which no others have done it so far. For example, in the retail industry, e-commerce has become the buzzword. Flipkart or Myntra or Amazon.com or eBay.com. These companies have come to have actually created a difference in the way retail industry works. So you need to understand which part of the stage of the industry life cycle you are entering into the business. So here it is. So various stages of an industry. So the industry is forming here. Like IT industry in the 80s, the IT industry was forming. There were three or four companies which were TCS was there, Infosys, HCL, Satyam, and Wipro. These are the five companies which were there I'm talking about 80s. In 90s, many companies entered. When the IT industry entered the growth path, the growth stage, there were many other companies came into existence actually. Once the industry gets crowded, there are too many companies there, then a shakeout happens, because the weaker ones will fall out, the stronger ones will, you know, take leadership position. So the shakeout is an ongoing process wherein the weak players move out of the industry. Either they get acquired by stronger players, or they fail to make an impact, or their financial performance prevents them to continue further in terms of sustainability. So obviously, you know, these companies have to move out of the industry, but some of the good players get acquired by the large players. So there is a shakeout happening. Then the maturity happens. Some companies go on the decline path, some companies go on the transition path. We talked about it, transition and transformation. Let's talk about mobile industry. There were only 3 or 4 players 10 years back when the government opened the telecom industry in 1995, mobile telecom industry. So there was Airtel, there was Vodafone, there is MTNL, BSNL and Reliance. So then came slew of other players like Uninor, whole lot of other new players came into the picture. So the whole industry got overcrowded, and the prices started, competition was cutting the prices, and what happened, industry started bleeding, and there was regulatory change challenges from TROI and Government of India, and there are price challenges from the marketplace. So it was going through a high hyper competition, and there is the shakeout happened, and with the scam and all happening, 2G scam, many companies went out of business. So now the stronger players are continuing their leadership, and now it has gone to a maturity. The pricing pressures and new services like 3G and 4G have come into play. So now this industry will take a transition. The weaker players have moved out of the industry. So this is a framework where how an industry actually from the inception to the growth to shakeout, maturity and transition and transformation. So this is how the industry works. This is applicable for any industry. Let's talk about introduction stage. Industry is in its nascent stage and beginning to form. So that's where the Government of India gave licenses for starting mobile companies. The mobile telecom industry started happening. IT industry happened way back in 80s. Mobile industry started happening in 90s. Lot of automobile, MNC automobile players started coming in the early 2000. And hospitality sector opened up. The aviation sector opened up. Insurance sector opened up. So every industry in India is getting opened up today. We are talking about FDI in retail, FDI in defense, FDI in insurance, FDI in a whole lot of agriculture, so many other industry segments. So obviously, demand for industry's product is generally low. The product service at the introduction stage, the demand for product is generally low. Awareness is also low, because the product is being introduced for the first time. Customers are actually first-time buyers and tend to be risk-taking, right? So only risk-takers buy the service or product. Industry generally seeks ways to improve the product and bring in distribution efficiencies as they learn more about. When they move into the growth phase, this actually happens. So we'll talk about that. In growth phase, once product is accepted by large customer base, the industry, so you have more customers, the customer base is increasing, geographically also, vertically also. So market demand for the product and services increases, more customers are acquired, profitable companies invest the profits back into developing new products, related products and new technologies and new facilities or geographical expansions or better customer service. More companies, competitors come up with to leverage, like mobile retail and e-commerce, which I talked about just now. So there are more competition coming up. They find that there is enough space for them. But after 2-3 years, they realize that it's getting the industry is becoming into a getting into a hyper competition stage. Then the shakeout happens actually. In the shakeout stage, industry growth is no longer rapid enough to support more players in the market. Weaker competitors go out of business, or sometimes good companies in this segment gets acquired by the large companies. Competitive position loses on account of high growth rate within the industry. So competitive positioning becomes a challenge, and you have to keep reinventing yourself and be innovative to come out with new ideas and new distinctive competitive advantage. Small number of stronger players emerge as leaders. There are every industry, which I said earlier also, there are three or four players who become leaders, number one, number two, number three, number four in a particular industry. Those are the stronger players. Marginal competitors either are forced out of the industry or acquired by the bigger company, bigger organization. Maturity stage. So that's when the industry moves into the maturity stage, where the hyper competition peters out. There is a balance, there is a rational thinking, the reality sets in. So industry goes through consolidation stage, market demand is completely saturated. So here, you know, stronger players emerge and buy out small good companies, which I said. Weak players exit from the industry, obviously, because their financial performance cannot sustain any longer. Leader of the industry pursues, product innovation, seek to expand into new markets, new products, new business areas, and then look for even global expansion. So they, like Bharat Airtel, looked at MTN and Zain in Africa. Finally, they acquired Zain's business, and they expanded the footprint into 20 odd African countries. So they become a global company today, global telecom, mobile telecom company. When demand for an industry's product services decreases, that is a decline stage, and customers begin to turn more advanced, so this company is not able to meet the customer's requirement because customer requirement pattern has changed. Higher quality of products are offered by competition. Companies diversify their business units and reinvent themselves. Companies pursue new innovative products and services to sustain. This is a transformative kind of stage. So let us talk about industry life cycle from an Indian context perspective. A life cycle model of industry is useful for strategic analysis because you can take inputs to while you are formulating your strategy. Innovating strategies are happening in emerging industries under public and private. Today we are talking, government has opened up this particular idea of public and private partnership, PPP model. So innovating strategies are happening in the marketplace. Emerging industries like infrastructure, construction, ports, airports, in many areas or metros, metro railways. So you're actually bringing in a public-private partnership model. India is emerging on account of technological development because India is the home for global outsourcing for technology, because India has the largest number of companies who actually do technology outsourcing for global MNC companies, Fortune 500 companies. International companies are attracted to India and they are ready to bring in FDI, foreign direct investment, to set up their facilities and ready to do technology transfer to Indian companies as well. So this is from an Indian, which is a good thing. So you need to capture these inputs while you are considering when the company is setting up a business in a particular industry. So the like automobile industry is a good example here. Automobile industries, whether you have Ford or Hyundai or Honda or General Motors, many companies, whether it is American or Korean or Japanese or European, many automobile companies have come into India. They come with lot of product variants and compete on price and value. To attract customer segments, different types of products available for different customer segments. So let's talk about analysis of industry. If this is the marketplace, there are generally challengers, leaders, niche players, and visionaries. So how do you define? There are two things. You have got a great vision, but vision is not just a statement, but it's complete and holistic in nature. So that's the completeness of vision. You're talking about not for 1 year, not for 3 years, but you're talking about 5 years and 10 years down the line, what my company will become. So you've got a very excellent and got a good roadmap of vision and a clear strategy. The ability to execute. So these two things have to match very clearly. You've got a good vision, mission and strategy, and you've got a good execution power. Like Reliance Industries is known for execution of projects, whether it is Jamnagar Refinery or the Reliance Petrochemicals or Reliance Com. So these companies were formed with a clear project management experience. Project management to execute the strategy, to implement the strategy to get into the in a new industry. So ability to execute, completeness of vision. So if you are on low on both counts, then you are a niche player. You are looking at a particular area, and you are looking at niche area of product and service. If you got high level of ability to execute, but you still have half of your vision. You got a vision, but you're taking steps. You are a real challenger. You got the potential to become a leader. You can actually extrapolate the vision to become a leader. Leader is one who has got high ability to have completeness of vision, mission, and strategy, and ability to execute. So he becomes a leader, and he becomes a sustained leader from time to time and for long term. A company has got a vision, but low on execution. They are visionary. They just talk about vision. They talk about ideas. They talk about this is what it is. This is what is going to come. Good consulting companies, but execution, they may lack execution. So these are the different types of players who are available. So any organization getting into a particular industry has to map it. Where do I fit in now? Do I belong here? Do I belong here? Or do I belong here? Or do I belong here? So that will give you an idea which are the areas that you need to really focus on in terms of developing capabilities, whether ability to execute or you need to work on your vision, mission and strategy. So that is the first starting point of strategic management process. Strategic tools are used to analyze the industry and set performance benchmarks for the industry. For example, telecom. Telecom went through a real hyper competition stage, and they are the ones who are measuring the ARPUs and minutes of usage and productivity, utilization levels. So these KPIs are analyzed, and new performance for the industry is set. Then you compare yourself. Industry benchmark is this. My performance is here. So this analysis is very important before you start your strategy formulation. Then this is an example, Gartner's magic quadrant. Gartner comes out for every industry, every product. This is for business intelligence platforms. They have compared at least 20 companies, and they have placed those companies in each of the quadrant. So these are the niche players, so the companies like Cordia Technologies, Panorama Software, Salient Management Company. These are all niche players. Unfortunately, there is no visionary here. There are challenges, TIBCO Software and Tableau, and leaders, Microsoft, Oracle, the names that you often hear like Microsoft, IBM, SAS, SAP, Oracle. So they're all in different points within the leaders quadrant. So similarly, IDC came out with IDC MarketScape. There again, different telecom companies with respect to leaders, major players, contenders, and contenders is equivalent to your challengers here. Leaders are here, major players and participants. Participants are just niche players. So you got strategies and capabilities similar to this, vision and ability to execute, strategy and ability to execute. So these two are similar ones you can use and compare your industry. There are different reports available for different industries, and then you can place yourself and then have your plan to move from here to here, or move to from here to here. So these things can be worked out. Your size, your operation, your leadership, your positioning, everything can be calibrated. Once you benchmark it, then you are in a better position to formulate your strategy, to meet your vision. Leaders lead all the way with their vision, clear strategy, execution capability to stay ahead on the value curve. Obviously, that's known. Challenges give equal fight. So leaders have the highest level of vision, completeness of vision, and ability to execute completely. So that is what it makes the difference and competitive advantage and distinctive, unique positioning for them. So they stay ahead of the curve, value curve. Challenges give equal fight to stay in the reckoning. Challenges always give, they keep fighting. They may be falling short on the vision, but they are very good entrepreneurial and, ability to execute. Niche players create unique market space, very unique market space, small marketplace. Visionaries always stay ahead and come up with innovative ideas. They are good in ideas, but lack in execution. Laggards who lack vision and strong execution capabilities, they will exit the market. Over a period of year or two, they come with all the big bang, and then within a year or two, they don't know, they don't have the vision, and they exit the market. So I talked about Porter's five forces model, which talks about industry organization theory while making strategy. So these are the five forces that actually define the industry, the strategy from an industry analysis perspective. Intensity of rivalry among incumbent firms. How many competition players are there? Whether it is the market saturated? Is there enough space for new players to come in? What is the level of intensity of competition there? And threat of new competitions entering the market. As I gave an example, the automobile industry in 80s only Maruti and HML were there in the marketplace. Then the 90s, late 90s, then the other MNC automobile companies like Ford, Hyundai and Honda, everybody started coming into India with opening liberalization of economy. Obviously, that is required because we need a lot of foreign investment to create infrastructure, create plants, manufacturing, and create job and employment. Threat of substitute products and services. So this is very important. Is there a threat that you got a product, flagship product, but there is a competition who's coming with a substitute and replacement product and a service? Bargaining power of employers, bargaining power of buyers, bargaining power of suppliers. So these are the five forces that define, that actually have an impact on the strategy making from an industry analysis perspective. Competition analysis. Competitors of a company not only include players who sell same products, but also related industries vying for discretionary spending. So there is enough competition which is coming in, trying to take away customer base from one company to another company. Hyper competition. So like mobile industry, the tariffs came down from 18 rupees to 40 paisa, 45 paisa per minute. So that is a classic example of the hyper competition. Over a period of 5-6 years, the whole industry landscape completely changed. The hyper competition leads to unsustainable business environment, and weaker players actually moved out of the industry. Marginal players exit industry hyper competition scenario that we talked about. Competitive landscape is also impacted by entry of new players, majorly the MNC players, because they got a lot of money. They want to set shop in India. So they come through the FDI route or FII route. They start participating in the Indian industry. So this is a very critical analysis. Diversity of competitors, domestic and MNC, impact the competition. Because there is a combination of domestic players and international players who impact the competition. Switching costs are crucial for customers need to change the product and service provider. Certain companies create exit barriers in the industry, right? So because of their position in the industry, they create exit barriers. Entry barriers for competition. Economies of scale, brand identity, product differentiation, capital requirements, and switching costs. So this becomes an entry barrier. If you are entering in a new business into an industry, the company should be having these should meet these parameters. Entry barrier, because you know, if you don't have economies of scale, you can't enter. You can't enter that marketplace. If you don't have a brand in that particular product or a industry segment, you can't enter. If you don't have a product differentiation like the competition, you are nowhere there. If you don't have the capital, to invest, switching costs. So these are important parameters where, you know, it becomes an entry barrier for the nearest competition. Entry barriers for competition also access to distribution channels, cost disadvantages and government policy. Sometimes hostile government policies also can be, companies, don't enter because they see that the political party in the government can be a problem for their organization. So, and also the policies and regulatory policies also can be a problem. Strategic management process should take into consideration the factors impacting the successful entry of organization into a marketplace in a particular industry. So this is very important, you know. So how you need to analyze the competition in order to find a position for yourself, and also understand the entry barriers for each of those players. Strategic management process should take into account these factors that will impact the successful entry of an organization, because this will impact this company. Because you know, if you are not factoring in, then your market share will erode, your revenues will start falling because other companies acquiring your customers, right? So this is very important to consider at the time of a strategic management process. Bargaining power of customers. Customers generally pay the price for a product's value. Customers generally they compare the value. Price is mark to market price, because market demand, supply versus demand, and customers' expectation versus the value that it is delivering. So the price is determined at the market level. In high competition, customers gain bargaining power by selecting or rejecting a product, because new players are coming in, they are trying to float a new company with a new product, and they are trying to cut the prices, and the existing players have to cut the prices if they have to retain their customers. So customers gain automatically gain the bargaining power. So telecom industry is an example. The food industry is there. There again, you know, they are making good offers and other things to attract customers. Buyers can lower industry's profitability by bargaining for higher quality or more services. So he can lower the industry's profitability. You know, there is so much hyper competition, the industry's profitability goes for a toss. So in the industry organization theory, the potential for profitability of the industry or a particular organization in that industry is dependent on these factors very clearly. So if you deliver value, then you command a price. If you don't deliver value, if you are a commodity based product, then probably the customer gets bargaining power. Buyers also gain bargaining power through knowledge of the product. So they compare, they can Google it, they can compare it on the e-commerce portals, and then try to make a decision to buy a mobile phone or a TV or any product, or a garment or a ready-made garment. So those things are today available. Customers can log into the website of a particular company, Flipkart.com or any e-commerce company, and try to compare the price, the offers, the discounts available at any point in time, and so they have a better product knowledge. Customers today, with the internet proliferation and the e-commerce portals, they are in a better position to bargain the price. Constraints of Porter's five forces model. Based on assumptions of the industry organization perspective, strategy as opposed to resource-based. Because here the profitability is defined by the forces, whether it is how intensive the the competition is, how many new players are coming, whether you know, the buyers have the bargaining power or the suppliers have the bargaining power. So obviously, you know, it's a different theory altogether. Complexity of industry increases, the ability to draw analytical references from the model also decreases. So as the complexity increases, the ability to draw analytical inference, because you can't really make analytical references, analytical inferences in a complex scenario. Model does not take into account ability of large industries to change the structure of the industry. So this is again a constraint here in Porter's model, where model does not take into account ability of large industries to change the structure. Because if there is a guy who's got 30-40% market share, if there is a company and there's a large enough to change the game within the industry, so that has not been taken into account. Porter's model assumes industry factors, not the firm's resources. It is more taking from an industry external perspective, not from a firm's internal resources perspective. So all in all, to summarize, this particular chapter focused on identifying the industry, how does the industry evolve, what stage of the industry evolution life cycle you are actually making a strategy to enter the marketplace. The industry organization is operating, and the competition scenario for its products and services, because you have to understand where do you stand with respect to your competition, how do you benchmark your products and services, what are the key parameters that the industry evaluates the company's performance in terms of the benchmarks. It involves an understanding of the evolution of industry and industry life cycle, which we talked about: introduction, growth stage, shakeout stage, maturity stage, and then transition stage. Customers gain bargaining power in a competitive environment. That's a known fact. So with that, we come to an end, and thank you so much for attending this particular session. We will meet again in the chapter 3 in the external environment analysis, which will talk about the macro environment one has to consider before making a strategic management process. Thank you so much.